Well, happy Father's Day to each dad, every brother here. So thank you for being here, spending the day with us.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, a Father's Day message Pastor Wayne gave a few years back. It was power-packed when he first gave it, and it packs even more of a punch today as we see all that is going on around about us. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When a New Generation Arises.
I want to talk to you about when a new generation arises as we pass the baton of faith from generation to generation. It's in the book of Judges, chapter 2, and verse 10 and 11. It says, a new generation arose after Joshua. You know, there was Moses, went through the Exodus. Joshua took the baton. And when Joshua passed away, it said, a new generation arose that knew not the Lord nor the things which he had done. They were clueless. Somewhere along the line, the baton was dropped. And I looked at that and I thought, what's the result? And it said, so they turned aside to idols and forsook the Lord, their God. How many of you are 50 years old and over? Raise your hand nice and high. 50 years old and over. Come on. Okay. All right. I'm going to call you the Moseses and the Mrs. Moseses. Today, I want to talk to you about patriarchs and matriarchs. That in this place right now are patriarchs and matriarchs that have a divine anointing that must be passed down in order for victory to be realized. And if we drop this baton, that's why Judges says there arose another generation that knew not the Lord nor the things which he had done. And things went from bad to worse. You see that happening? Yeah. And so God has a word for us today. I want you to take you back to the New Testament where Jesus was asked by a lawyer. And in those days, a lawyer wasn't an attorney. It was someone who studied the law of God. So they were called lawyers. A lawyer came to Jesus and said, you know, could you kind of like distill this whole Bible into one commandment? What's the most important commandment in this whole thing? So just bring it down to one. What would it be? Jesus reaches all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he quotes it. He said, you want to know the greatest commandment of all? Here it is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And then he adds to it, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon this one law, all the rest of the law hangs. And I thought, wow, is it that important? That's the ones that the Old Testament people would memorize and speak again. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. They would say, Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. They would say, in Hebrew, they would say again and again. They would repeat it again and again. And I thought, why would they do that? Why would these rabbis and why would these Jewish people memorize this phrase? And then I thought, that's because it's Deuteronomy 6. And it's the greatest commandment of all. So I thought, I wonder who he taught that phrase to. I wonder who it was in his audience where he gave this speech, this declaration that became the greatest commandment of all. So I went back to Deuteronomy 6 and I thought, okay, who was he talking to? Lawyers? Who was he talking to? Bible college students. Must be seminarians. No, what I'm about to share with you is about to blow your mind. You know what who he was talking to? He said the greatest commandment of all, it was in a parenting class. Yep, he was talking to parents. You never hear that, but it's to parents. In fact, let's read it, and you can fill in number one. The great commandment was first given to parents. Let's read what it says, and it'll come up on the screen as well. Would you read it with me? Go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Memorize his law and tell them to your children. Over and over again. Tell them to your
children.
Who?
Children.
So who was he talking to?
Parents.
Ah, he was actually in a parenting class. Tell it to him over and over again. Continue. Talk about them all the time, whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. Tell it to them over and over again. So when your kids come to you and go, Dad, you already told me that. Say, shut up. The Bible says, tell it to you over and over again. I'm going to keep telling it to you till you get it right. It's time to go to bed. Good, I'm going to talk to you about it because it says when you're about to go to bed at night. And I'm going to be talking about it when you get up in the morning. You say, well, Wayne, what if they don't listen to you? No, tell it to them over and over again because the Word of God is like a seed and it has its own life. And when you deposit it into their hearts as the messenger, as the farmer, you plant the seed. The seed does its own growing. You don't have to get it to grow. That's our problem. We try to get it to grow. And we only frustrate it. You just plant the seed. But if they're not listening, you just keep planting seeds. Just keep planting seeds because the Word of God is faithful. The Bible says it this way, my word shall go forth from you and it will not go forth from you void without accomplishing what it was purposed to accomplish. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, says Timothy 3:16. And so you go ahead and share it. Now, not only did he give it to parents, would you write in number two? Watch this. He gave it to grandparents. Let's read what it says under that. He says, why did I give you all these laws? Why did I do the miracles? Let's read it. Go. That you may fear the Lord your God. You and your son and your... Yeah, you think you're washed up? No, the reason you ain't dead is because you ain't done. That's right. To your son and your... Who is he talking to? Grandparents, continue. By keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life. What's the result? That your days may be... Yeah, God wants you to stay around so long as you continue to share the faith as a patriarch and a matriarch. Many of you in this place are patriarchs and matriarchs. A patriarch is someone who knows what God says. And when there's a young Joshua or a Joshuaette that's teeter-tottering between what the world is saying, what the news is saying, or what the Bible says, which is it a worldview or a biblical view? What do you think? They're looking to you to break the tie in their minds. To give them enough weight on the side of God that tilts. It's a tipping point. They're waiting for you. And when you give them that, they go, okay. If you are quiet, and if you don't say it over and over when you should, well, they won't listen. No. Plant the seed. Just plant the seed. Plant the seed. And then it becomes their responsibility. The Holy Spirit will then begin to stir that up in their hearts. You don't need to stir it up for them. Just plant the seed. Because you're a patriarch and there is an anointing on you. Many of you are patriarchs of your tribe. You know the Word of God more than they do. You don't have to know a ton of it. It's just that they look to you. What do you think, Grandpa? What do you think, Dad? What do you think, Grandma? What do you think, Mom? And you speak. If you say, well, you just make your own decision. They're clueless. And guess who's going to rush in to tell them? The world. Their friends. Society. And that's why they go that way. Why? Because the patriarchs and the matriarchs have not continued that mantle of passing on the blessing from generation to generation. In the Old Testament, young men and women used to line up for days to get a blessing from a patriarch and a matriarch. In fact, their futures were determined in large part to that blessing. Well, it may not be real estate or money, but it is an investment of God's anointing that goes through you to them. And then things in their future begin to open up. Why? Because there's something of divine direction that's given to them. Through whom? Through a patriarch and a matriarch. But you see, if we stand down, they have to fend for themselves, and many of them won't make it. Your anointing, the mantle on you, is more important than you'll ever know. Now, let me talk to the Joshuas and the Joshuettes. There's patriarchs and matriarchs in this place and in your family that you've not confided in nor consulted, and you need to. You need to ask for their blessings. Don't do stuff that you know won't get their blessings. That's like suicide. That's like destroying your future. That's why the Bible says in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, right in the middle, number 5, honor your father and your mother. For this is the first commandment with a promise. What's the promise? That things may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. See, when we honor the patriarchs and matriarchs, there's something of divine anointing that is passed on to you. And something happens in your future because of that. You say, well, Wayne, we don't do that today. You know, you mean like the 12 tribes lining up to Jacob to get a blessing, or Isaac giving a blessing to Jacob and his brother Esau? I mean, that kind of blessing, you know, that was a tradition. So we don't do that anymore. What if it weren't a tradition? What if it were a spiritual principle that we've abandoned? And see, the enemy would love us to abandon it as a tradition when it's actually a spiritual principle. That's why he said to Moses, stop, 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 write it down. Because it needs to be remembered from generation to generation. This is so important. You don't realize how important this is. Something of divine blessing will be imparted if you will be a patriarch and if you will be a matriarch and stay engaged, even if it's to bless, it's to inspire, it's to encourage, it's to pray for, it's to applaud, it's to correct, it's to reprove, it's to hug. I cannot tell you how important that is. And in today's society, when there is absenteeism that takes place, we look at what's going on, we think, maybe us. And God's saying it's a spiritual principle. Joshua's and Joshuettes, can I encourage you to look for a patriarch in your life or a matriarch? Ask their advice, get their counsel, ask for their blessings, seek it out like you would seek for treasures, because in it will be contained your future and so much of what God wants to do in you. Ask for that, and you'll be surprised how the patriarchs and matriarchs will gather around you to help you. Grandparents, if you're still confused whether or not you're valuable or not in the things and the purposes of God, let's read this next one. Why did God do all of this? Let's read it. Go. I did this because I want you to tell your children and your about my miracles. Then all of you will know that I am the Lord. You've got stories inside of you of the wonder-working power of God. And it says, another generation grew up that knew not the Lord nor the things which he had done. Why? Because we didn't tell them about the miracles that God has done. Tell them. Your children are laying there in bed. Tell them stories of how God has saved your life. How many of you should be dead by now, but God has given you another chance? Raise your head. Tell them. Tell them about that. Let them know what God has done. And they'll listen, and it'll give them a legacy of the miracles of God. You know, all of these things is to not be taken to the grave. Now, you need to tell them. But what if they don't listen? That's why I'm silent. Let me tell you a story. I had a friend of mine call me, and he said, hey, Wayne, my daughter Tammy's getting married. And she was at that time 19 years old, and I said, oh, wonderful. And this friend of mine was a pastor. He said, yeah. And she moved to Denver because they're going to get married and her fiance's in Denver. I said, wonderful. Yeah, I said, but the problem is they just moved in together and it's just kind of a little too soon. I said, oh, doesn't that guy know that he's marrying a pastor's daughter? Yeah, but instead of her getting her own apartment and him getting one, they thought it'd be cheaper just to move in together. I said, well, talk to him. Tell him to respect the daughter of a pastor because you're going to be his in-laws the rest of his life. Well, he said, you know, could you call her because you know her? I said, you call her. It's your daughter. He said, no, you know, she's known you as her youth pastor for so many years. I said, you chicken. I said, all right, I'll call her. So I rang her up. Hey, Tammy, yeah, I heard you're getting married. Congratulations, yeah. I said, you moved in together with your boyfriend. Yeah. I said, well, why didn't you just kind of wait? You only got 6 months, you know, and you're going to get married. Well, it's cheaper. I said, doesn't he know that you're a Christian? Well, he's a Christian too. I said, he is. Let me talk to your boyfriend. Hello? Hey, you're getting married to Tammy. Yeah, you're a Christian. Yeah. Then you should kind of honor her and respect her and protect her. 6 more months. Well, you know, she's a pastor's daughter. Yeah. And by the way, he said, my grandfather's a pastor. I said, oh, wonderful. You call your grandfather and ask him what he thinks. How's that? And I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay.
click. So I called him the next day. Did you talk to your grandfather?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. What did he say? He said he didn't see anything wrong with it. I said, end of conversation. Click. You see, when patriarchs don't speak the word of God, the Joshuas and Joshuettes have no direction. And they may abdicate a blessing that God had in store for them. And so your role is absolutely critical because they're waiting. And Joshuas and Joshuettes, it's not obsolete, old stuff, ancient kind of stuff. It's the word of God. And when they speak, listen, because your future may be hanging on how you respond to a blessing. Can you receive it? When you do, one day you're going to look back and be so thankful that that patriarch or that matriarch gave you a blessing, gave you some direction. You heeded it, and you look back and you think, God has blessed so much. I bet it's because of a patriarch or a matriarch in my life. I want us to be a church where the futures of our next generation is fruitful and flourishing. Can you say amen to that? And we want to be a part of that, Moseses and Mrs. Moseses. Can you say amen? And Joshuas and Joshuettes, I want you to succeed. Remember this. Faith is always living in advance what you will only understand in reverse. Faith is living in advance, trusting the word of God. Living in advance what you'll only understand in reverse. And one day you'll look back, you'll thank God for the Moseses and the Mrs. Moseses in your life. Joshuas and Joshuettes, you have a fabulous future ahead of you. Don't abdicate that. Don't miss it. It's there for you. And now to the Moseses and Mrs. Moseses, your anointing is a divine unction that you have that you cannot take to the grave. You've got to pass it on. It's designed to be passed on. It's not to go to the grave. It's not to sit there under the dirt 6 feet under. It's to be passed on. That's what the family of God is all about. Please, please understand that. And God is waiting. That's why he said, if you will do this, I'll give you a long life. In other words, do this and I'll extend it because we need this more than you'll ever know. Write it down. And so never think that your words fall on deaf ears. Mm-mm. They're going to fall on fertile hearts. And their futures will be changed because of it. I was reading one of the strangest scriptures in the world. And when I share this, you might think I'm really weird and out of it. I kind of am. But you need to hear this. It was in 2 Kings. I was looking at the ones to whom these patriarchs passed a blessing to, a ministry to, an anointing to. And I watched Moses pass it to Joshua. In the New Testament, Paul to Timothy. I watched it to David, to Solomon, and I watched Elijah. Remember the one that went up in the fiery chariot? He passed it to Elisha. Name was pretty similar, but Elijah passed it to Elisha. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. And I said, I wonder who Elisha passed it to. And I read and I read and I read, and he didn't pass it to anybody. He died, and he took that anointing of a patriarch. He didn't pass it on to anybody. He took it to the grave. I thought, no way. And then I read something that just blew my mind. It'll mess your mind up too. You want to hear it? Yeah, well, it is crazy. Would you write down a number 3? It was never designed to be taken to the grave. It's to be passed on. It's passed. You remember that. You got to pass. So you can bless, you can anoint, you can speak advice to, you can pass it on to 100 new generation people, to Joshua's. And Joshua's, listen, there's so much power, there's so much of God's anointing in this place. If we could all pass that on, I tell you, the future is going to be amazingly flourishing. But it's to be passed on. Now, here's what happens. In those days, they will bury somebody. And then it's kind of like a graveyard. So they buried Elisha, but Elisha still had the anointing in him. The anointing was still alive. He was a patriarch. He didn't pass it on to anybody. He just went to the grave. And there was now this is a strange scripture, so it really boggled my mind when I read it. It's in 2 Kings. So they're having a funeral years later. And so they got this guy on this, I don't know what you call this, a stretcher, gurney thing, and a hammock. So they're carrying this person, and they look up, and some enemy, a marauding mob of people come down, riding horses, you know, shooting guns, whatever. And so they come down, and they say, OMG, here comes some weird people. So they threw this guy that's dead, just whoo, and he lands on Elisha's grave. I don't know if it's in a cave or what. They just toss him to the side, and they start hightailing it out of there. Now, the Bible says something really interesting. When he touches the bones of Elisha, because the anointing's still there, the guy revives. The dead guy. Good morning. And I was like, what? So I thought it was strange. So you got to read it, because don't take my word for it. Let's read it together. 2 Kings, go. So Elisha died, and they buried him. Now, bands of Moabites used to invade the land in the spring of the year. And as a man was being buried, behold, a marauding band was seen, and the man was thrown into the grave of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Yeah, I told you, I wasn't kidding. And I thought, that is like the weirdest thing I have ever heard. Well, I had just read about that. And I was 31 years old. I had just gone to Hawaii to start pioneering churches, and I was on the big island of Hawaii in this place called Hilo. 8 months after I landed, I figured I had preached the whole Bible by that time. You know, there's nothing left to preach after 8 months. And I thought, man, I'm burning out. I got to find something. Well, there was a missionary whose name was Titus Cohen, who went there in 1836. And after he landed on the big island of Hawaii, he loved the Hawaiian people so much. He preached his first sermon after 3 months of landing. He preached his first sermon in Hawaiian. He wrote his message out, had someone translate it. He learned it, memorized it, and spoke it in their language. And when Hawaiian people heard the gospel being spoken in their language, they came from all over the districts. And over the next few years, 10,000 Hawaiians received Christ. It's called a new awakening. It was called a huge revival. And built this big church called the Haile Church for 10,000 people. So I thought, wow, I'd like to visit one of his disciples today, talk to him about this amazing man who loved the people so much. So I began researching, and I found that maybe it's with his kids. None of his kids followed his footsteps. Well, maybe one of his elders in this church, none of them. And I went to the church, and it's a beautiful church, but there's about 30 people in it now. I thought, he didn't pass his anointing on. And I remembered 2 Kings with Elisha, and I thought, he took his anointing to the grave. Now, you're going to think I'm weird, but I thought, I wonder where he's buried. This is a true story. So I researched it, and he was buried in a certain grave. I thought, shoots. So I remember it was a rainy morning. I was 31 years old, and this rainy morning, and I went up to his grave, found his headstone, and I stood on his grave, and I looked up to heaven. And I said, Father, forgive me. This I don't mean no disrespect, and I want to honor the memory of Titus Cohen and you. But I was just reading in the book you wrote, and it said that the anointing, if it's not passed on, it could be still here. And so I looked up and I said, remember what Elisha said when Elijah went to heaven. I want a double portion. Lord, I'm praying that you would give me a double portion of this man's anointing. And you know, I didn't feel anything then, but now, 36 years later, before I came here, I look back, 200,000 people have received Christ for the first time through New Hope churches in Hawaii. It's crazy. And we have 152 churches. And I think, you know, there's no way one human person could do that. It has to be an anointing of the ages that God did. And I go back to that time and I thought, that's it, isn't it, Lord? The patriarchs and the matriarchs have been given a purpose by God to pass on to all the youth and the young Joshuas and Joshuettes. But it's like two keys. In order for that nuclear blast to happen, we have to have a multi-generational army because we are fighting a multi-generational enemy. Do you understand? And it's time we defeat the gates of hell. Can you say amen to that? Hi, I'm Wayne Cordero. I'd like to take a few moments to pay tribute and honor all the fathers that listen to Words of New Hope. Today, we celebrate your strength, your guidance, and the love that you pour so sacrificially into your families each and every day. Thank you. Thank you for being role models of faith and godly character for the next generation to follow after. We give thanks for you, and we pray God's continued blessings over your life. Happy Father's Day from all of us at Words of New Hope.